We'll have a short service at 11 o'clock. If you're doing a shoebox, or you want to do a shoebox to give someone a Christmas present who otherwise wouldn't receive one, and please collect them from the back of the church. We need them back by the 16th of November. And there'll be prayer after the service today. So if you'd like further prayer, there'll be people waiting here to pray for you. And we'll have a time of waiting on God during the service as well. I'm going to hand you over to Peter, who's leading.
Thanks, Paul. Just one or two notices from me as well, I'm afraid. Firstly, we'd love to invite you to join us for tea and coffee and biscuits after the service. In order to do that, we need somebody prepared who's prepared to stand and make tea and coffee and put the biscuits out. So we do need a volunteer to just help us with that after the service, if anybody can. Anybody feel they might be able to do that? Brilliant. Thank you so much. So we are going to invite you to join us after the service. The other announcement, I'm going to enlist Kim's help, if he's still here, to deliver. So Kim and Andrew attended some training through West Midlands Ambulance Service on stopping stab wounds called Stop the Bleed. And I'll let Kim just tell us a little bit about what that was. Or Kim and Andrew. Brilliant.
Good morning. I think Peter's already told you all about it now, anyway. Andrew, who many of you know already, many of you probably also know, he's a retired paramedic. As such, he sees problems that many of us would imagine never will happen. Sadly, in the world today, we know there are lots of problems happening, including some horrible stabbings. So at the last PCC meeting, Andrew recommended that we have a stab kit, stop the bleed kit, in church, to which I said, well, if we're having one, we could do with knowing how to use it, what to do with it, rather than have to stop to read the instructions in the emergency situation. Last weekend, Andrew and I attended a course run by West Midlands Ambulance Service. It's called a Stop the Bleed course, run by Citizen Aid. The intention is to train people to use the Stop the Bleed kits and then to share that training with other people. So Andrew and I, as a result of that course, now, I mean, Andrew didn't need it anyway, but he had to go downhill for that course. But we are both now trained to train other people. So over the next few weeks, we'll be rolling this training out through as many church members as want to. This very basic how to use a stop the bleed kit, how to stop the bleed even if you haven't got a kit course. So if anyone wants to do that, just speak to us, please, and we'll sort out some sessions. It's fairly quick, it's very basic, but it's quite different from any of the first aid training I've ever done before. You want to say any more, Andrew?
Yeah. The only thing I want to say is it takes about an hour, and it's on a video presentation. So we're not asking for large amounts of time, just an hour of your time. Might save someone's life, and that's it, really.
Thank you very much, both. And I mentioned this morning, if you're involved in any other ministry or any other community project, this could be useful there as well. So do please take advantage of it here so that it can be seeded elsewhere. So we'll come to our worship this morning, and what a glorious bright morning we've been given this morning, and an extra hour to enjoy it. Father, we thank you for delivering us safely to this day. We thank you for the brightness and the beauty of it, and for opening our eyes to your beauty within it. We pray, Father, that this morning we may draw closer to you and closer to each other in our worship this morning. Amen. And our welcoming prayer we'll say together. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the new person into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. And we're going to have the first of our worship songs this morning. Higher than the mountains that I face. Lord, let us remember that our debt is by you. Let us remember that nothing stands between our hearts and yours. We are free to come to you, Lord. Just want to pray for our children and young people before they go off to their club. Father, we thank you for the blessing of youth, for its excitement, its exuberance, and its openness to your Holy Spirit. We pray for our young people this morning that they may be given wisdom and given fun today by their leaders in their club. So steer their teaching, Lord. Bring them fun and fellowship, and bring them close to your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if I could ask those leaders to give us a big wave and stand at the back of church so the young people know who to follow out. Thank you very much. So we come now to a time of confession. Let us, in the silence that follows, replay our weeks in our hearts and let the Lord show us all of the things that he would have us pay attention to. Father, in what you have shown us, help us. In where we have fallen short, make up the difference. When we stumble, pick us up. If we say wrong things, close our mouths. If we do wrong things, take us away from situations. Let everything we are, Father, let everything we give to the world be of you, and let us resemble Christ more each day. Amen. Amen. And let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. We're now going to have a block of three worship songs. Please do stand if you're comfortable to, but if at any time you feel you do need to sit or dance or jump for joy, just do what you need to do. Thank you. Thank you.
morning's reading is from Luke chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 40. Jairus' daughter and the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. When Jesus returned to the other side of the lake, the people welcomed him because they had all been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus arrived. He was an official in the local synagogue. He threw himself down at Jesus' feet and begged him to go to his home because his only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went along, the people were crowding him from every side. Among them was a woman who had suffered from severe bleeding for 12 years. She had spent all she had on doctors, but no one had been able to cure her. She came up in the crowd behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, the people are all around you and crowding in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I knew it when power went out of me." The woman saw that she had been found out, so she came trembling and threw herself at Jesus' feet. There, in front of everybody, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been healed at once. Jesus said to her, "My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While Jesus was saying this, a messenger came from the official's house. "Your daughter has died," he told Jairus. "Don't bother the teacher any longer." But Jesus heard it and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be well." When he arrived at the house, he would not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Everyone there was crying and mourning for the child. Jesus said, "Don't cry. The child is not dead. She is only sleeping." They all laughed at him because they knew that she was dead. But Jesus took her by the hand and called out, "Get up, my child." Her life returned and she got up at once. And Jesus ordered them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Their prayer. Father God, I pray you anoint me to speak your word. I pray you anoint all of us, Lord. I pray you bless this time with your spirit. Amen. It's not you, Alan, it's the sun. So there's a group of us in this church who meet from time to time, and we study the subject of healing. And then we meet at 8 o'clock on some Sundays, as we have done today. And there's an invitation to come up for prayer after the service. And what the six of us have in common is that we all believe that Jesus is healing people today. Maybe varying degrees of faith, but we all have faith that Jesus heals today. And he's healed me several times in my life. I'll just share one story. Forgive me for those who've heard it before. But 20 years ago, I went to the doctors and I was tested as having allergy to cats, dogs, pollen, dust mites, and I took every form of medication you could take. Eye droplets, up the nose, through the mouth. And even with all these tablets, I got really itchy eyes. It was unbearable. Really, it just affected the way I could live life. And then this one Saturday morning, John, who was in his 70s, says to me, "Why are you scratching your eyes, Paul?" I was in a Baptist church at the time. And I told him what I told you. And he said, "I believe this is a work of Satan, and I believe Jesus wants to heal you. Can I pray for you?" John said the simplest of prayers. And all I can remember is leaving the church, and I said to myself, "Well, I won't take any medication until I need to." I still haven't needed to 20 years later. Praise the Lord. So in the four Gospels, we see many occasions on when Jesus does miracles, healing miracles. If you count deliverance from demonic activity and restoring people's life, then there's some 20-odd miracles in the Gospels alone. In the passage we've just heard, he heals this sick woman and this young girl, doesn't he? Just want to look at each one in turn. Start with the woman. She's been bleeding for 12 years and she's spent all her money trying to get better. And then she touches the cloak of Jesus Christ and instantaneously she's better. Not a bit better, she's completely healed. What was the cause of her healing? Well, Jesus tells us, "Someone's touched me. I felt power go out of me." That power is still very much at work today, isn't it? Jesus says as much. He's about to go to heaven, and he says to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." Jesus is saying, for the person who believes in Jesus Christ, they will see the power of God at work. Now, clearly this woman didn't heal herself, did she? She tried everything to get better. But in Matthew's account, it's interesting to note this. She's thinking, "If only I touch his cloak, I'll be healed." In our account today, it says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." So in this miracle, we see the power of God and we see the faith of the woman. Turning to Jairus' daughter, she's dying and he pleads with Jesus Christ to heal her. And then en route, we get the sad news, don't we? She's died. But Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed." Gets to the house and he won't let anybody in to see the girl apart from the mum, the dad, James, John and Peter. And that detail is in all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. Incidental maybe, but it's there for a reason. And I believe it's there because Jesus is trying to create the right environment. He wants people in the room with him who believe that this girl can be healed. And then he says, "My child, get up." Her spirit returns and she stands. Again, we see the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, and we see faith on behalf of those people. As Jesus says, believe and she'll be healed. Just read this book a couple of months ago called Remember. Basically, it's encouraging us, not a bad thing to do, to encourage us to remember what God has done for us. Yeah? I should journal more than I do, I confess. He has done things for me which I've probably forgotten. And he tells this wonderful story about this guy, Joel, he was on holiday to Cyprus, goes to visit a mosque, and then he sees a Muslim outside with his leg in plaster, broken ankle. And Joel says, can I pray for you in the name of Jesus? And the man says, well, there's no point. There's no power in Jesus. Then I'm going to read a bit for you now. Joel says, that's okay. You don't need to believe. Jesus will still answer. So the man agrees. What have I got to lose? Joel places his hand on the cast and says, be healed in the name of Jesus. Let this man know, see, that there's no other name than the name of Jesus. No other name. So, things start happening. The cast, the plaster is removed. A crowd gathers, and the man can't believe what's happened to him, and he's jumping up and down on his broken leg. Except, I don't think it's broken at this point. So this starts to build faith. So if someone comes forward for prayer for the knee, again, Joel does the same in Jesus' name, and he's healed instantly. Then we get this, a man comes forward with one leg shorter than the other, so he lays him down, and before he can start praying, his leg starts getting longer. And then out of the mosque comes a man who starts mocking Joel, telling him he's wrong. There's no power in the name of Jesus. Jesus is just a prophet, my brother. Heal the pain in my side. If Jesus is so powerful, he laughs. Joel places his hand on the man's side and prays. The mocking man's expression changes from laughter to shock. He stares at Joel and walks away. So in that story, we understand the power of Jesus Christ compared to the power of Muhammad and their God. But I believe we also see the faith of Joel, at least, don't we? Joel had a great faith in the power of God. So what about us in Walter Orton? It's the same for us. We need power. We need faith. And we can't control the power, can we? That's with God. But we can be sure that God is here and that God is powerful. So we need, as a church, to build faith, don't we? Both individually and collectively. And I encourage you to do that for the sake of yourself, but for the sake of the whole community. There's an account in Matthew where Jesus goes back to his hometown. And we read this. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So let's get this right. Jesus being God, Jesus being all-powerful, struggles to do miracles in that hometown, Nazareth, because of their lack of faith. So we do need to build faith. It's like a muscle, isn't it, in many ways? If you're a Christian, you know a measure of faith. I encourage you to practice the faith, to work the muscle. We believe in a God of all power, of unlimited resources, a caring and compassionate God, a God who heals today. Praise the Lord. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us all and then just ask God to minister to us in whatever way he sees fit. But we met earlier, and there's a couple of words. one's already been claimed, but doesn't mean it can't be claimed twice. Someone had a picture of a clipboard holding a paper very tightly and the words, "He will hold me fast." And the other person was saying, had the sense that condemnation comes from Satan, doesn't it? God doesn't work like that. God will convict us of specific sins, and maybe God is trying to convict you of something this morning. So let me say a prayer, and then I'll leave some space for God. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power you know. We thank you that that power is active today in the world, as it was at the time of Jesus, as it was at the time of the disciples, the first disciples. We believe Jesus, and we know he is still healing people today. So we believe. Help us with any unbelief. And Father, knowing that you're a God of power, a God of grace, I pray in this 1 or 2 minutes you bless the people here. Maybe some need healing. If they do, heal them, Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some have got worries or anxiety issues. Bless them then, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you bless them in whatever way seems fit to you. Amen. Thank you. In a moment, if anybody's got a word or a picture, I'll give you an opportunity to share it if you think you want to. You don't have to. Marie, do you mind sharing that beautiful story you told me the other day? Hearing about stories of healing builds faith. And just wanted to get my hair cut, and Marie started talking to me. What beautiful story.
It is lovely. We've been going to Greece for a number of years, and we've got to know quite a few of the restaurant owners. And 3 years ago we went, and one of the women, she's only in her 40s, she'd had cancer of the throat, and when we saw her, she was in a terrible state. She was really thin. She'd obviously gone through horrendous treatment. And it was just awful to see her. And after we spoke to her, she told us that she'd got cancer in her nose and in her womb, and that she'd got two surgeries to have that week, to have them both removed. So the nose was on the Tuesday and her womb was on the Wednesday. And we went back to the room and I was praying. And I said, Lord, she's only 40. She's got a 10-year-old son. It's just really sad. Can you do anything for her? And the next night I prayed the same. And I just felt him say, just go and pray for her. So I went. I took my Bible with her. I waited till the restaurant emptied and gave her the gospel. And then out of my mouth, without me cognitively thinking about it, I said to her, the Lord will heal you. And then I was thinking, oh my gosh, what have you just said that for? And this voice was just going, oh, it was awful. I was panicking so badly. And she said, well, you'll forgive me for being cynical, won't you, Marie? And I was thinking, yeah, I will forgive you for being cynical. I couldn't wait to get out of the restaurant. I didn't expect it to come out of my mouth. And I ran down to the beach. Did I text you or did I ring you? I can't remember. Both. And I said, oh, I've just said this to this lady. I've told her that the Lord will heal her. What did I say that for? And it was. And they were going, don't panic, it's all right, we'll pray, we'll be praying for her. So neither I had the faith, nor her. I had the faith to go down and pray, but actually when the words came out of my mouth, I was panicking like mad. And I thought, I've got 2 weeks here. She's got two surgeries, and I've got to take the rap for whatever happens there. Anyway, these pair were praying, I was praying. And she went for the surgery on the Tuesday on her nose, which was going to be a real mess. They were going to have to make a mess of her face. And when they went in, there was nothing there. There was nothing to remove. And she came back delighted. She went under anaesthetic. You know, it was going to be proper surgery. And on the Thursday, she went down again, and it had gone from her womb as well. So it was just amazing. And I have to say, just one more. I had a client who got brain, breast, liver, stomach and pancreatic cancer. She came to have a hair done. She got 6 weeks left to live. And I bullied her into going to church and went up to pray to a healing service at Renewal in Surrey Hall. And she really didn't want to go, but I sort of really nagged her to go. And on the way there, my head was going, what are you bringing her? What are you taking her there for? What if God doesn't heal her? What if? Anyway, she went up. The whole church got up and prayed for her. And that was, it must be 10 years ago, and she's still alive. There was nothing after it was five and a half weeks by the time I prayed for her. Not me, the church had. And yeah, she's still going. It all went. All of it disappeared. It was amazing. Just incredible. So yeah.
Praise the Lord. Does anybody else got anything they want to share before we worship the Lord again? Praise the Lord then. Or did you want to share something, Gavin?
I've just got a picture which come to mind, and it may speak to someone here this morning. I think sometimes we feel that we don't have the ability or the strength to do things. But actually, if we take that step of courage, the picture I've got is that we've got the angels in heaven there with the, putting the bunting out for us in celebration of that smallest, tiniest bit of faith that we've expressed through what we do. So be encouraged that we don't need a massive dollop of faith. It says in the Bible we need faith as a grain of mustard seed. And I think we can all just about manage with that. So be encouraged whenever you have those doubts, those fears, those concerns, to step out with just that little bit of faith, and there's someone there putting the bunting out in celebration for us.
Church, John Hart.
When I was living in Wales, five couples of us used to meet once a week to pray, and we gave ourselves the task of praying for our children, because we all had children that were away from the Lord, to pray for the village, because it was really a very Welsh village, slate village, but completely pagan, to pray for Wales, which is also in a desperate state, and to whatever else came into our minds. But we concentrated because one of the couples was Jewish, and they had a daughter in Jerusalem who had been seriously injured in a car crash and had been operated on in the Hadassah hospital, and they had botched the operation, and she was in desperate pain. She couldn't put her right foot to the floor, and we prayed for her for something like 10 years. But then she came to spend, there was a lot of difficulty in Jerusalem at the time, the Intifada, as you might remember. I'm going back 10, 15 years. She came to Abergnol, went to stay with her parents for 3 months. During that time, we kept on praying for her. We could see her walking around sometimes in the local town with her arm crutches and her right foot off the floor, because she couldn't, if she put it to the floor, it was desperate. Well, she was in pain all the time anyway, but it was desperate agony if she put her foot to the floor. But one day I had a phone call, and the mum said, Lisa would like you to see you. So Margaret and I went down to her house, and we said, yes, what do you want? She said, I would like you to pray for me because I'm taking 60 milligrams of morphine every day, and I'm going to stop because I'm getting addicted. So I said to her, well, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to pray for me so I'll be kept while I stop. I said, what does the doctor say? She said, no, it'll probably kill me. I don't know if you've ever been asked to pray for anybody in that sort of situation. And in my mind, there was a great shout, help, Lord, what can I do in this sort of situation? But I suddenly spoke to her and I said, have you got any resentment against anybody? I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And there was a pause, and she said, yes. The church in Jerusalem, she had a resentment against the people of the church in Jerusalem because they had badly let her down. And I said, we've got to get rid of that. She said, well, shall I pray? I said, well, there's only you can do that. So she started to pray in tongues. Well, I thought it was tongues, it was Hebrew actually, but nevertheless, she prayed for quite a while, and then I anointed her and laid hands on her and prayed for keeping power while she stopped taking morphine. And then Margaret went to her and spent nearly 20 minutes. I couldn't hear what was being said. She put their heads together and she prayed very much for Lisa, and then we went home. And she had quite a battle with what do you call cold turkey, they call it, don't they? Fighting against the addiction, because she definitely stopped taking the morphine. A little later on, we were going to go somewhere with her. She asked me to take a video of a house she was thinking of buying in a nearby village. And I said I would. So we went in her parents' car. I sat in the back, Lisa sat by me, and the parents in the front. The parents got out and went towards the cottage. And Lisa turned to me and said, John, I'm going to walk without my crutches. oh, I've got visions of her getting out and falling off, falling straight down, you know. Opened the door as quick as I could. I got a camera in one hand and tripod in the other. I tried to get round her. By the time I got round the car, she'd gone. And she's walked ever since. She went back. Her father told me she walked into the airport with her crutches strapped to her case. Today, Lisa is in northern Iraq working amongst Zedeti children. Oh, I still get that right. They're not Muslims, they've got their own religion.
Yazidis.
Yeah. Their parents have been killed. They've seen their parents killed by ISIS. And she's got an enclave. She's supported by people in America and this country. And she's working now today perfectly. I can't communicate with her regularly. Faith. Faith is a wonderful thing. You can't prove it. But I was privileged by God to see that miracle take place. I am going to walk without my crutches. And off she walked, and she's still walking. Keep your trust in God.
Thanks, sir. Shall we praise the Lord?
Thank you.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts and those we receive through the bank. Help us, we pray, Father, to use these gifts wisely in the ministry and mission of this church to make ready to meet Christ, this community. Amen.
Amen. We come to a time of prayer, so please sit or kneel as we pray. Gracious Father, bring your blessing into this meeting of your people gathered here. Speak into our hearts through the songs we sing, the prayers that are said, and the reading and understanding of your word. May we be encouraged by what we have heard this morning through the miracle of healings and your word being spread, Lord. May we go refreshed into the world and through our lives bring refreshment to others. We give you thanks for the word on which our lives depend. Encourage us in our pastoral thinking as we pray for the church, the world, and the needs of others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for your church and give thanks for the thriving ministry in this place. Please take any blindness from our eyes that we may see the kingdom of God. May the kingdom be revealed through our church and into our lives and the lives of others. We give thanks for the ministry of Paul that he continues to be upheld by the Holy Spirit. We pray for those in positions of leadership, including Peter and Alan, and for all within our ministry team. May the kingdom of Jesus Christ dwell upon all who preach the word, and may we all be enabled to grow in faith through the words we have heard today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world and especially for people who live in fear. Please protect all who are persecuted for their Christian faith. We pray for all those who suffer discrimination through ignorance and difference. May we all be reminded that we are one people and we are all loved in Jesus Christ. We pray for countries at war and especially for Ukraine. We pray against the escalation in regional violence and international tensions in Israel and Palestine and Lebanon, and pray for the success of peace initiatives. Protect the innocent who suffer the indiscriminate violence of war, and for the refugees forced to flee. We ache as we watch the destruction in Gaza and the plight of the people in that area, Lord. Help us protect this world from the greed of leaders who exploit the people they are meant to protect. May those leaders be brought to account and new leaders of conscience raised up. We pray for the poor and hungry and for the dispossessed in our own community, that these may be people who we see daily and fail to recognize. Raise us up, Lord, and open our eyes to your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our family and friends and those we love. Lord, please protect our loved ones and heal all the anxieties that cause distress. We continue to pray for healing in mind, body, and spirit for all in their different needs. And we know that in and through you, all things are possible. In a moment of silence, let us bring before God all those on our hearts this morning, that they may be healed as God wills. We pray for the caring community, the doctors and nurses, emergency workers, social workers, welfare visitors, and all those who care for loved ones in need. Be with those who grieve and pray for all those low in spirit. We pray for our neighbours and for harmony in our relationships with them. And we pray for ourselves. Forgive the way we often strive for earthly riches and trappings. Let us focus on the life that a Christian faith brings. Restore us, Lord, as all is possible with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today is Bible Sunday. And we thank you, Father, that your word is the light we see, a guide for our footsteps to the place where you are found. Your word is the strength we find when darkness threatens to overwhelm. Your word is the power we need to become servants of a heavenly King. Your word is the reason we live in the sure knowledge that you are everything. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to sing again, so if you're comfortable to, please stand.
Set your roll and reign.
yes, Lord, we pray for your kingdom. We pray for your kingdom to be made ever present with us. I just want to cover something off. Whilst we were praying earlier, whilst Alan was leading us in prayers, I got a sense that for some of us, we believe the lies that the world tells us about our healing. That maybe I'm not good enough to be healed. That maybe my healing isn't as important as somebody else's. And so God heal them, but don't worry about me. That what I have got wrong with me is too dirty or too deep or too difficult to heal. These are lies. So if that's you today, if any of that resonates in you and you think, well, I would love to be healed, but God just won't want me to be. God wants to heal you. And so at the end of this service, there will be people to pray with you. Please, please come in faith, step in faith, and be prayed with so that God can start his work in you. And Lord, we pray to you today that you bless our week. Let us walk in your light every day. Let us draw closer to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us all and be with us always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.